Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Go Yard, and we are glad to be here live in the studio with you again tonight. I am Mama Mac, and with me is the famous, outrageous, so amazing Chris. No, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, Dr. Angel Falzone.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that was good.
I don't know what happened there. Just a little mess up. Okay. Dr. Angel Falzone, and we've been doing this show together now a year and a half or close to 2 years coming along. And what a joy every Thursday night.
It really is. I look forward to Thursday evening.
Oh, I do too. We just have so much fun on this show. And it just kind of grew out of our desire to help people with counseling situations and life coaching things. Me as a pastor for many years have counseled a lot. And you with the credentials, me without them, but you with them, licensed mental health counselor, PhD, and all the therapists that work under you, 20-some?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. And a young thing that you are here, and so full of wisdom. And we just pooled our efforts, and we've been excited about this show ever since we began. So we're glad we have listeners. We want to hear from you. And we're getting ready to do another Q&A show. So we want to hear from you. You can email us questions. That's the easiest way because a lot of you are wordy and you have a lot to say. So send us to GoYard2014. That's the year we began the show. GoYard2014 at gmail.com. Send us your questions and you will hear Dr. Angel's answers to those questions in a few weeks. So, again, send us through email, goyard2014@gmail.com. And we have engineer Chris here with us tonight, doctor. So that means we never know what's about to happen with him, do we?
Oh, no.
If he will participate or not. You know, we just don't know. We don't know.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, I know.
I'll think about it.
This is Navigating Relationships Part 2, and we had a lot of fun last week with this topic, did we not?
We sure did.
Yeah.
We sure did, you know, and, navigating relationships, especially those romantic kinds.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Can be quite a challenge.
Quite a challenge, yes. And so we want to remind you that you can participate in this show since we are live tonight. Some nights, if we don't say we're live, it's because we're not. So anyway, 727-441-3000 is the number to call in with your questions or comments. But a lot of you prefer to text us, which is fine. You can text directly to my phone, which is our Google number. It's 727-888-4171, and I'll give those two numbers to you one more time. If you'd like to call in live during the show tonight, 727-441-3000, and you can text 727-888-4171. And you know, when we say live, then that makes it difficult a little bit for our Starcom Radio Network listeners. So I apologize to them because this show will be heard this Saturday morning and Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. 10 a.m. for our Living the Good Life show and noon both days for this show. Go Yard. Noon. We'll get that right. Eastern Standard Time and time changes this weekend.
I know. You know, and that really bums me out.
I know. I never liked the spring change.
I like the result of it where it's dark later and we have more
right.
sun when we're coming home. But boy, getting that used to losing that hour just takes
It's like
forever.
Takes a few days, doesn't it? To
yeah,
just
it really
recover.
Does.
Yeah. So Navigating Relationships Part 2. So last week we talked a lot about the current situation in social media with texting and texting in relationships and problems with that, didn't we? Do you
we
want to
sure
give us
did.
Kind of a review, doctor?
We know last week we kind of really focused more on the new relationship.
Right.
For a lot of the show. And when today's culture is changing and we're getting online, there's all these eHarmonies and Meet Me Here and all kinds of websites I don't even know the names of.
Meet Me Here.
But, you know, we talked about, we just want to keep it simple. We want to be honest. We want to be straightforward. One of the biggest points I think we really made last week is just take our time and not rush into these relationships. trust develops as we take time, and that's the foundation we need for lasting.
Oh, absolutely. Don't you think a lot of people get so caught up in the excitement of the moment of meeting someone and thinking this is going to be a life partner or a marriage or whatever the case may be, and they do just rush.
They do. It's just like we go from 0 to 90 and like, you know, you know, we known each other a couple months, you know, we're moving in together and
yeah,
we're
it's
doing
not
this
good.
And it's just so fast. And what happens a lot of times is we abandon our lives that we've had before this relationship. And we kind of, our friends and family become widows of our new relationship in our
That's
life.
That's a great point.
And we don't want to do that.
You mentioned kind of a guideline last week, the 50-30-20 rule. Do you want to go back over that very quickly?
Oh, that's a really good rule. And that's not just for new relationships. That is for lasting relationships. So of our leisure time, 50% of it we could spend with that person we're in that romantic relationship with. 30% of our leisure time we should spend with our friends and family. And then 20% of our leisure time we need to reserve for ourselves and self-care and doing the things we need to do and want to do.
But a lot of people don't take care of themselves when they're in a new relationship. They're so caught up and they wrap up every second and every minute. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes from one person in the relationship to demand all the time.
And you know what? There is. And that is a very good barometer that this may not be a great relationship.
Here's your sign.
Red flag, warning.
Red flag.
Because that's what we need. And that's what we should have, that type of balance in our life. No matter if we're just started dating somebody a month ago or we've been married for 30, 40 years. We still need that balance. And
spending quality time alone. You made that point last week very strongly, and I thought about that a lot. That is a very important thing, and we can't learn that concept too young in life, really, to take care of ourselves, you know? Do things we want to do.
It's sacred, and whatever it is, if it's you enjoy doing a hobby, or if it's reading, or if it's just doing nothing, or it's we need those alone times. Those alone times refuel us and give us perspective and help us de-stress. And so they're very important parts of our lives.
And you also talked about staying true to yourself, not compromising your values. Do you want to make that point one more time before we go on to new material? Because I think that's a huge point.
I agree with you. You know, just being true to who I am and not trying to be in somebody else's mold. So if I have a value or if I have a belief system that's important to me, I shouldn't be compromising that to be in a relationship with somebody else.
Right. And a lot of people do that just to be liked and just to have that relationship. And you also said, and I forgot this, but I want to bring this back up because you said there's a lot of times that people compare their new current relationship with the past ones.
And we do not want to do that. That is a
Why
trap.
Why not, Doctor?
Nothing good can happen from that.
Nothing good.
There's a natural internal comparison that we might make inside our brains, and
yes,
that's where it stays.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't be making this outward expression of comparison.
All right. So let's start right in where we left off last week, and we are ready to talk about habits of strong, healthy relationships. Now, I think at this point, this doesn't just apply to romantic relationships.
No, a lot of these practices can go to any relationship.
Any relationship. Your mom, your grandmother, your sister, your friends you've had forever. I think that if some of our audience may be thinking, well, you know, I don't want to get in a relationship, whatever. Okay, let's take these truths and apply them to our families, to our friends, to our workplace also. I mean, there's a lot of truths right here.
There's a lot of truths, and there's a lot of different ways we can apply some of these concepts. So absolutely. And the first big concept, and I think it's one of the largest concepts that we can, for healthy relationships, is communication.
What'd you say?
Communication.
Oh, that's extremely important, isn't it?
It really, really is.
And you said that, and we made that point right before we signed off last week, and it is extremely important. But I want to ask you a question, Dr. Angel. What about the people in relationships with someone, whether it be family, friends, a romantic relationship, where they're communicating okay, but they're not hearing truth?
Ooh. That is a good one. You know,
of course, that never happens to any of us, right? Where somebody lies and deceives and presents something that they are that they really aren't.
And that happens. And that's where communication is important, because that's right. where we'll kind of start seeing the true colors of people and their true what's really going on. And a lot of times people can hide that from us. And if we're not, you know, we might be spending all of our waking hours, you know, outside of work with this new person that we're in a relationship with. However, if we're not truly communicating and being honest about our communication, we're not really getting to know each other. And so communicating, just talk about your feelings, talk about your likes, talk about your goals, but in honesty.
But people so much, it seems to me, so often, so much of the time, are afraid to really reveal what they really think about whatever the issue is, because they're afraid that that relationship will go away.
It's true. And when people who tend to be more insecure, it's called kind of the chameleon effect. I'm going to be what you want me, or I think you want me to be, because
right.
then you'll like me.
Right.
Instead of just being who I am and letting you like me for who I am or not like me for who I am.
You know, and maybe it's because I'm, you know, a tad bit older than you, but I would think at this point in my life, I don't want to waste time with someone who's selling me a bill of goods or not telling me who they really are or lying or deceiving about their core character, for instance. I don't want to spend time with that.
True. And so that's where
hence why I'm single. But go ahead.
No, that's okay. But that's where that honest communication is important. Because as we're communicating, I might start hearing discrepancies in what you like, or I might hearing things that aren't in alignment. And so that might send a flag, well, maybe something's not what I'm thinking it was. And so as we're communicating, true life and true colors start coming out of people.
Okay, so let's say you're in a relationship of even a family member, friend, somebody at work, and you hear discrepancies. You hear what appear to be lies. You hear things that, wait a minute, didn't you say this 2 days ago and now you're saying this? What would you tell our audience, Dr. Angel? You are the expert.
Well,
so I know that you have had to deal with this with clients and with your therapist.
True. And when I start seeing discrepancies, I'm going to bring in the communication because it's going to be an honest. But I'm not going to bring it in a way that's putting them on the defensive. So if I, you know, come at them, well, yesterday you said this and today you're saying this, so which one's the lie?
What's these hand gestures here going?
I'm Italian.
You are Italian.
I'm going to set them on defense mode 101 and we're going to lose that communication.
That's right.
But I might say, you know, the other day you were talking about this and now I hear this and I'm confused. Can you help me understand? Now I give room for some clarification.
I'm confused. Can you help me understand? I like that.
And it's
somebody
taking ownership.
Write that down, people, because it is. It's taking ownership of it and being willing to admit maybe I just misheard you.
Absolutely. And maybe you did. Or
right.
maybe they were talking about two different things and we thought it was one event. And so that's where we're allowing that communication to be clarified. And that's important. But we want it clarified without attacking someone.
But what happens when somebody tries to clarify it and they feel that by you just bringing that up, that they are attacked?
Well, they may feel that way. And so when you take the more ownership statements, it can reduce that a lot.
Okay. All right. Okay. A lot of times I think that we get in situations with family, friends, you know, romantic relationships where it's just easy to fall into a trap of taking everything for granted. Taking our relationship. We don't work at it anymore, you know? I mean, my parents are married 61 years, and I'm sure they had good days and bad days. But for the most part, they really got along well, and they dressed alike all the time, their colors. Whatever, Dad would let Mom pick out what color they were wearing that day, and then he'd try to find a shirt that kind of matched or whatever. It's a family thing. It's kind of funny. But it kind of was a picture of their lives that maybe they didn't look exactly alike, but they kind of had on the same color. Do you know what I'm saying? And as a metaphor for our lives, we don't have to be like our partner or like our best friend or like our sister or like our mother. We should give people the ability to be who they are.
We do. We need to give that freedom for people to be who they are.
Right.
And then we need to take that freedom of ourselves to be who we are. So it goes both ways.
It does.
And so we're not all going to share the same political opinions and religious viewpoints and likes and dislikes And that is what makes us unique. And those are our gifts of our human existence.
And it is okay.
It's totally okay. And, you know, even if you're in a marriage relationship and your spouse and you totally have different viewpoints on politics or religion or different aspects of the world, we can still love and respect each other and just know that we see it a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you wrong or you bad.
That's right. That's a good point.
And what happens a lot of times is we get closed-minded and my view is the only view, it's the right view.
Yeah.
And better get on board, girlfriend.
Right. So, strong relationships, you mentioned the term quality last week versus quantity. Talk to me about that.
Well, a lot of times we get sucked up into the, if we spend every waking moment together, this must be a good, healthy relationship. Yeah,
right.
It's not, because we're neglecting other people. And a lot of times when people are still spending all their time together, they're not really in this relationship and growing together. They're just kind of existing mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm.
And so quality time means undivided time that I am giving to this other person. If it is my friend, if it is my children, if it is, you know, my significant other, that means when we're eating dinner, for example, we aren't watching our favorite TV show and calling that family dinner. We're sitting down at the table and we're talking, well, how'd your day go? What's going on?
You
That's quality time.
I love
time.
That about you with your boys, you know, because you don't let them get by with any of that kind of stuff at the mealtime, do you?
No, I don't. And that's a protected time, but that's our, and if that's the only 30, 40 minutes I had of great conversation with the kids, that was quality conversation.
That. How about eye contact when it comes to, you know, family, friends, but your significant relationship, whatever. Eye contact. How important is that?
Oh, eye contact is very important for
I'm looking you in the eye while I say this.
Eye contact. Well, and when we make it, it releases dopamine in our brain.
Okay.
And it's helping.
Really?
Us. Yes, it
when
does.
When we make eye contact,
yes.
It releases dopamine.
Yes, it does.
Wow.
So
that's better than getting on the exercise bike, huh?
There you go.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
We're de-stressing and we're
Whoa.
Bonding our relationship. And so 30, 45 minutes of good time with somebody is much better than 8 hours of barely saying a word and just existing in the same, you know, house with them.
Very good. So what can you see in somebody's eyes, Dr.? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, gosh. What do you mean? What can I see in somebody's eyes?
I don't know. But, you know, sometimes you can see, I feel like, maybe because, again, I'm a little older than you, but I feel like a lot of times I can tell a lot about a person in their eyes.
You can,
Is
yes.
there a sparkle? Are they dead? Are their eyes dead? Are they depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Are they enjoying life and glad for this conversation? Are they having a good time? Or are they, like, mad, you know?
Absolutely. We can tell a lot of things. And that's not just the eye contact. That's that whole face-to-face. Because we're getting
body language, yes.
Every part of that person in that conversation.
You remember that statistic you throw out from time to time about how much of a conversation is, like on texting, last week when we were talking
yeah.
about that.
So words are 7% of our communication.
That's that statistic I wanted. Okay, words, I'm going to write it down this time. 7% of our communication. I'm going to write this down, Chris. And
she's taking notes, guys.
I'm taking notes so I can learn something here
okay.
from the famous doctor. And go ahead with that, and then I want to ask him a question. Go ahead.
So the other two parts of our communication is our paralanguage, which is our tone and inflection, and then our body language. And together, they make up 93%. And I don't remember offhand how they separate, so.
Okay, body language, tone, and inflection.
So one's called paralanguage, which is our tone, our voice, our inflection of voice, and the other is our body language, and
so those together make up a 93% of our communication. So, which brings us back to that point about texting and how you cannot really tell
That's
what's going on. It's not, is it?
And it isn't. And it's good to, you know, get on the text and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. But if we really want a quality, not quantity, we're going to pick up that phone or we're going to meet together for lunch and we're going to have that time together.
Right. So, Chris, here's my question for you. Have you ever been in a situation? Oh, you ready?
Here we go.
Here we go. Have you ever been in a situation or relationship?
Yes.
Okay. Where you felt like you were being lied to, where you felt like you were being deceived, and the person was, you know, selling you a bill of goods.
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone out there who says that they haven't or feels that they've never been in a situation like that is either naive to the fact or they've just been so successfully brainwashed by the other person.
I love that.
That's true.
Well, I mean, you know, let's be serious. Everybody at some point in your life, even if it's your family,
right?
Okay, even your family at times can feed you a line of bologna.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, and I'll tell you, sometimes a bologna sandwich on white bread with American cheese is pretty good.
Right.
But at some point, you got to grow up and realize that it is, in fact, bologna.
Right.
Okay, you know, and a lot of times...
But it hurts sometimes when you come to that realization that this person was leading you down this little nice path, and that's not who they are.
Right, and again, so speaking to a lot of the things we talked about last week and some of the things you guys were just talking about, it all breaks down to how effectively you communicate.
Oh, very good.
Right?
Very good.
There is always going to be situations where... you may or may not believe what the other person is saying, whether that's your mom, whether that's your dad, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, whatever, your next door neighbor.
Right.
Okay. There's going to come a point in time where you are having a back and forth conversation or something with someone and you just don't believe what it is that they're saying.
Exactly.
And really the only way that you're going to get to a point, at least in my mind, the only way you're going to get to a point where you get over that or you start to believe that person is when they start doing things to prove to you that it is in fact true, right? Or you just have some sort of effective back and forth communication.
Right.
I mean, look, there's situations where, let's say we were having a conversation.
Didn't I just ask him one little question?
I'm
teasing you, Chris. Go. So, you go with it, buddy.
If you and I were having a conversation.
Right.
And I didn't necessarily agree with what you were saying.
Sure.
If you came in here next week and you provided examples and documentation or whatever it might be to support what it is that you were saying,
right?
I would be like, huh, you know what? Maybe I was a little bit judgmental in thinking that she was lying to me. Or maybe I didn't give her the benefit of the doubt, but now, huh,
right.
Okay. And now the next time we have a conversation and you say something that I might not necessarily believe, I'm more likely to believe it and I'm more likely to give you the benefit of that doubt.
So it's cumulative. It just happens that trust is built.
Right.
Trust is built over time.
It is.
It is. And very good. Very good.
So what you were asking earlier, you were trying to figure out the breakdown for...
Do you have it?
Yeah, it's 55% of communication is body language.
Okay.
38% is the tone of your words, and only 7% is the actual words that you're saying.
That's really cool.
Those are powerful statistics.
And like we were talking about last week, when you are, we were talking about the difference between a text message, a phone call, and in person.
Exactly.
A text message, a phone call, and an in-person conversation are really these three things.
They really are.
The text message is the 7%, your words.
Mm-hmm.
The 38% vocal tone is the phone conversation.
Good point.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 55% body language is the in-person.
Except you have to add them all up. So when you're doing the text, it's 7%. When you're on the phone, it's 7% plus the 38%.
Sure, right.
And when you're in person, it's the whole 100%.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yes. Very good. Thank you. That's
great.
Excellent.
Point.
Hmm? Excellent point.
Thanks, Chris.
This man is just so wise.
He
Haven't
is.
You noticed that?
Yes.
I'm like a fine wine.
Says whoever. Okay.
Says nobody.
Says nobody. All right. Let's go to break. We're going to come right back. We got a lot of more stuff to talk about here on the second half of Go Yard. Stay with us.
Hello. How are you? It's so typical of me to talk about myself. I'm sorry. I hope that you're well. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. I must have called a thousand times.
Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's TAN Talk.
Engineer Chris comes up with great songs for our break, and those are great. We are talking about navigating relationships, part two. If you missed part one, it is up on the TANTalk1340.com website under podcasts, and go to Go Yard, and you can find it from last week and catch up. It is also, this show will be heard again this Saturday and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com right at noon Eastern Time. And we're grateful to be on Starcom, aren't we?
We are. It's been cool. So amazing.
You know, got a lot more outreach that way in different cities across the United States and in different countries. So wherever you're listening to our show, you know, we're glad you're with us. So we're talking about this navigating relationships. And what happens when you have a couple or somebody that's newly together, whatever, and or a family member, time apart? Talk to me about time apart.
Time apart is very important part of any and every relationship we're in.
Really?
Absolutely. I don't care if we're talking about our children, our spouses, people we're dating, our family. We need time apart.
Okay.
It gives us a chance to do our own thing. It kind of gives us an opportunity to remain in our independence, which is important.
Which is the opposite of codependence.
Totally the opposite of codependence. Right. So when we're always together with somebody, we're creating these codependent relationships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so, funny story, not really funny, it kind of concerned me. I got a red flag call from a parent who wanted to get her child into therapy and told me that it was very important. She had grounded her child from his vehicle and he could not have it back until he attended a therapy session. And after getting information, found out the child was 29 years old.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
True story.
Doctor, you get some wacky calls. That's all I can say.
I get all kinds of calls. That would be a very unhealthy, codependent parent-child relationship going on right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I guess. 29 years old? Yeah, something's wrong with that story.
And getting grounded from your vehicle.
Oh, my. That's not good. Wow.
And that happens. And you know what? Our transitional adults really are struggling with some of that codependence.
Yeah, there is some of that going on in our society these days. People come back home or they move back in.
Or the parents aren't quite ready to let go, or there's a lot of either way on either side. And so this codependence does not just mean it's this romantic relationship.
Right.
It can be.
Family.
It can be family. Any relationship in our life.
And wouldn't you say, you know, the song from Frozen, Let It Go, but how about Let Them Go? You know, let the people in our lives become who they need to become.
And you know what? Making mistakes is part of that journey, and it's okay.
Right.
And letting other people make mistakes. And having time apart is important because I need to be who I am. And that's only going to happen when I'm not melded in with a relationship all the time with another person.
Exactly. Okay. Talk to me about love languages. Oh. Now, we're talking about relationships. Not everybody shows love in the same way, in a family, with friends, but especially with a significant personal relationship. A lot of people show love in different ways. Some people give cards. Some people, you
True.
Know, they text all day long. That's more codependent. But anyway.
So love languages is based out of the theory from Gary Chapman.
Okay.
And he has a great collection of wonderful books from children to adults on love languages. And so it's a great read. So if you need something to read, I highly recommend it. But here's how it works. All of us have, there's five identified love languages. And what we do when we get in relationships with people is we tend to express love to them the way we like love expressed to us.
Cards, flowers,
whatever.
So if
I'm the kind of person who likes getting gifts, then I might give you gifts. But you might be the kind of person who likes hearing nice words or appreciation words
sure.
or affirmations.
Yeah. Everybody's different.
So if I keep giving you gifts and you need to hear affirmations, we're speaking Spanish and English right now. And mm-hmm. we're not communicating in the mm-hmm. same language.
Good point.
And so this concept, so the five of them are, they're words of affirmation, receiving gifts,
okay.
quality time, acts of service, and physical touch.
Okay, you want to amplify on those? And let's find out what Chris is. For all those eligible women out there that are thinking he just sounds great on the radio. No, go ahead.
And so words of affirmation are just people who like to hear positive words.
Right.
Written, verbal, receiving gifts is, you know, the little things. It's usually people who gifts are their love languages. If you, you know, pick them up the M&Ms in the checkout line, that was a gift to them.
Right.
Or flowers or those kinds of things. Quality time is just that. They really enjoy just being with that other person. And it doesn't matter what we're doing, we're spending time together.
Sure.
Acts of service are individuals who like people who might come home and wash the dishes for them or fold their laundry.
Ah,
and that
okay.
makes them feel extremely loved that you
yeah.
would wash my laundry.
Right.
And physical touch is, you know, the hugs, hand holding, those kinds of things.
Right.
And so those are the five languages. And most everybody.
You want to say them one more time? Because there might be people out there who want to write those down and see where they fall in that.
True. And in the books, they have tests that help you even determine where you're at. Words of affirmation, receiving gifts, quality time, acts of service, and physical touch.
Okay.
And so what we want to do is we need to figure out where our love language is, usually how we feel loved, and that's will tell you which one of those categories, but who the people we're trying to show love to, how they feel love.
Right.
And so working with children all the time, I can tell you that children are bilingual in love languages, and younger children can...
Bilingual in love languages.
They are.
Well, that's an interesting little phrase. Explain
it's
that.
True. The younger the child, they receive love in all of those.
All of those, right.
And as they start maturing and growing, it'll start refining which love language they like. So, you know, I have a child who loves quality time. And so...
One of your children.
One of my own children. He loves quality time. And so if... I'm, you know, keep telling him, good job, you're so amazing, I'm so proud of you. That is not speaking love in his language.
Right.
So he's not hearing that love. But when I go scoop him up from school and take him to McDonald's and we go get ice cream together, that was speaking his love language.
There you go.
And so whoever we want to show love to in our lives, we need to learn to speak their language.
So good question. How do you find out what they like? You can't ask them that.
Well, you can have conversations.
Okay.
But get the book.
Get the book.
The book is
all right,
really
get the book.
Worth the read. And
all
it's,
right.
It's got some good tools in there, and it's very inexpensive, probably under $10, but it's really got some good tools. So if you're really struggling with this and you're having a hard time, because once you start reading these concepts, you should help be able to identify
yeah,
where
you probably
people
can.
Are. Because they
sure.
give you some good ideas of how to tell where people are and where you are.
Okay, cool. All right, that's cool.
Isn't it cool? It's really a cool concept.
All right. So habits of strong, healthy relationships is what we're talking about tonight. So
mm-hmm.
that's one, learning the love language of whoever in your life that you want to communicate with better. Learning to have some time apart. We talked about that. Quality time, not quantity. Vocalizing love for people. How important is that, Doctor? Vocalizing.
Telling somebody that we love them, that's very important. And especially...
But what if the person says, well, that's not my... I don't need to hear that, you know. But do they really? Does everybody really need to hear that?
Well, even if it's not their love language, it's still very, it's important to a relationship.
Okay.
So it's that positive that we're feeding in. And, you know, life gives us so many negatives. So we have to counterbalance that. And that's that letting you know, I'm still thinking of you. We're still connecting. I love you.
You know, and of course, as a pastor, I say that a lot to my people, and I mean it, of course. But even with my grown kids, I've noticed that as I get older, I tell them more when I'm on the phone with them. Hey, son, I love you. You know, I'm proud of you. You know, I just had a conversation with two of my sons just a few minutes ago. Well, both of my sons, I guess. That's all I have is two sons and one daughter.
I was like, did you gain more kids?
Yeah, I guess I did. I just, all these grandkids keep multiplying. So I, yeah. But I mean, I am finding that I am more consciously aware of that, saying I'm proud of you. Last night, one of my grandsons called, and 16-year-old, unexpectedly. I just now got a text from another one of my grandsons. Call me Nana. You know, and I'm getting to the point, and now with the boys, the grandsons, they're less likely to say, I love you too, Nana. Or they'll, a lot of times they'll go, love you, you know.
Yeah, they may not reciprocate, but they're taking it in.
Right.
And so expressing those affirmations are important, and appreciation.
Right.
You know, when, especially in relationships like long-term romantic marriage relationships, or even our kids living with us, you know, acknowledging when somebody went out of their way to do something, you know, thank you for dinner tonight, or
right.
Thank you for bringing the trash cans in, or thank you for grabbing the mail, the little things.
Yeah.
And showing, I appreciate your participation in this.
Right. Yeah, I like to surprise my grandsons, or even my sons sometimes, and just run up behind them and grab them and pull them down on my lap. Just, you know, they're huge, but I mean, I mean, not huge, but you know what I mean? They're big guys, but it's just that those gestures, don't you think, make a lot of difference? There's a lot of people though in our lives that are not able to do that touch or say, I love you. You know,
they're not. And what happens is they become very disconnected.
Right.
And so this appreciation and these affirmations are what helps to connect our relationship.
Right.
And so they're important and they're vital to healthy relationships.
Right.
Because when I feel connected with you and we're building trust, then when you're having your alone time or you're with your other family and other friends, I am not wondering, do you love me? I know you love me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
right.
So this isn't out of my feeling insecure anymore because I'm secure.
Right.
So I just know
and
you need that time.
And that's important, to have that security. You know, for a lot of people to feel that in their love relationship, especially that
and their children
and their children
need to feel that. And
oh
so
my
we
gosh,
do
yeah.
by that appreciation and those affirmations. And that's how we build that.
Boy,
security.
That's important. And what we're talking about is habits of strong, healthy relationships. How about being positive versus negative? Is that extremely important or just a little bit important in a relationship?
Well, you know I use this quote a lot, but what you feed grows, what you starve dies.
That's
and
right.
So the world can be just a negative place to live in at times. It just sometimes feels like everything we hear, you turn on the news and it's bad, 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 bad. And, you know, you get on Facebook and you see all kinds of stuff that can be negative at times. And so positive, we need to have to focus on the positive.
Because
when we focus on the negative, we see negative.
Right.
When we focus on the positive, we see positive. So when we're in a relationship with somebody for a long time, we tend to, in the beginning, we have rose-colored glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And they could
it's that honeymoon phase. Everybody's perfect
they
right at the beginning.
They walk on water. Even with our children, we'll do that at times. And then, you know, conflict emerges and things don't start working the way we thought they would. And guess what? Now y'all all bad.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can see is your bad qualities. And
right.
Nobody's all good and no one is all bad. And so that's important to be able to go in and still see that person's positive qualities. Yes, we may be in conflict, but this quality I'm still appreciating about this person and this quality I'm still appreciating.
So would you recommend people vocalize those positive qualities?
I think it's a great thing to do to vocalize. I mean, even in the midst, I have a child who is very, very stubborn, very, very, very hard-headed, and we went through some battles when I was raising him, and I still am raising this one. And you know what? Instead of going, he's just so stubborn and this is so frustrating, which it was, I learned to go, you know what? He's got perseverance.
Wow.
And that was taking that negative frustration.
There you go.
And when
I
started
like
seeing it as this is perseverance.
Yeah.
This is now a strength and not a weakness. And we're just going to remold this perseverance.
Right.
And now he's becoming a wonderful child. And that's my youngest, Spencer. So,
wow. Seriously.
True.
Wow. Okay, so taking that what appears to be a negative thing and looking for the good qualities of that issue, whatever
Absolutely.
It is.
Whatever we can find that's still
And
positive.
Spencer is a wonderful young man, so yeah, all power to you. Okay, so we need to focus on people's positive things and reinforce those. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear you saying.
We do. And even if we're experiencing a difficult time in the relationship or a difficult season, we still need to look for those positives. We can be honest with what's going on, but we don't want to just look through that negative lens because we'll see everything that's going wrong.
It's too easy to see all the negative, isn't it?
True. And then when even if they do something good for you, you'll be like, oh, well, that must be, they want something. Or, you know, we'll find something negative about something positive.
Yeah, and I think human nature tends to do that, too. If we've been burnt or if we've had a bad situation, then we are looking for that attitude to come back.
True. So what we look for, we find a lot of times. So
of
we need
course.
To be careful what we're looking for.
Right.
The next piece of advice is probably one of the most critical.
What is this?
Choose your battles.
Choose your battles. I love that concept. I've had to live that concept for many years. Would you explain that, Doctor?
You know, that's just not every issue is going to be a battle or something
right.
we need to have conflict over. We need to choose the issues we need to address. And that goes for every relationship
right.
we're in.
Yeah.
Because if all we do is battle, we're just can only see negative and we're going to get frustrated and it's going to demise this relationship.
And but doctor, there are people that love to fight.
Well, sure there are, but we want a healthy relationship. So
okay, yeah, that's true. We're talking about healthy relationships. So we don't want to be that nitpicky type person, right?
Choose your battles. So, and I teach this all the time. I teach it in parenting, we teach it in a lot of aspects. So you have I talk about three buckets in battle. So there's
three buckets.
Yes. Yeah, so the All bucket right. A are these things in life that are not negotiable in a relationship.
Oh.
Depends on the relationship. So if it's a romantic relationship, you might feel it's non-negotiable that we're going to be faithful. So if we're unfaithful, that is not something I'm willing to stay in this. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So
yeah.
pick those three or four. And then it should be a small basket, your non-negotiable.
Really? Your non-negotiable should be small?
And then basket B are some things you can negotiate in a relationship, like where we go on vacation or what kind of house we're going to buy or, you know, what do we do with our free time? And basket B are even more insignificant things like where the clothes are on the floor or if the toothpaste lid was put back on.
Right.
And so basket B and basket C are things that we choose our battles very wisely. Some of them we might say we'll deal with this. Some of them are like, yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah.
It is just because we're different people.
Right.
And basket A's are the ones that we really focus on. Keep making sure our relationship stays in alignment with those.
Those are good. Those are really good. So in basket A, probably faithfulness in a romantic relationship is extremely important to most people.
True.
Not to all people.
Not to all people. And some relationships have experienced that and are able to survive it. And that
right.
might not be
right.
their basket A. And everyone's is different. Some basket A's are that they might share the same faith value system.
Right.
And that might be those individuals' basket A's. So, but we should only have a few things in that basket, whatever that basket is.
Yeah, because it's hard to live up to all that probably.
Right. Maybe your basket A is that we're never going to have physical violence. That'd be a good basket A.
Oh, yeah. There you go. For sure. I agree with that.
So that's something I'm not willing to negotiate.
Right.
But it should be just a few things. The rest, we can negotiate.
Okay.
And some things we just let go and know it's just part of being different people.
Very good. Boy, I hope your audience that you're really getting some things from all this because you're just a wealth of information, Doctor. And your experience in years of counseling, but also just dealing with the therapists under you and the cases they bring to you brings out all of these good ideas for our show, don't you think?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Go Yard's all about hitting a home run in life instead of really having these strikeout situations, right?
That's where we want to go. We want the home runs.
Yes.
We do.
So healthy relationships. What else?
Well, if a romantic relationship, we want to keep sex in that relationship. That physical connection is really important for relationships. So
touch is so important, isn't it?
And, you know, and even as we age, the actual full sexual act may not be, but holding hands and cuddling and back rubbing is still very important.
Very important.
That physical connection.
Right.
So the more we do it, the more we want it. The less we do it, the less we want it. To the point where you'll see people and one will go to reach out for the other's hand and they cringe. Because they just haven't had that connection or hugs.
Right.
We need that physical connection.
Absolutely.
And so keep it alive in your relationship. Don't let it dwindle. And even if there's health issues and you can't do the whole act, you can still connect physically in other
sure.
ways.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So you're saying that's very important,
physical
too.
Physical connection, yes.
Okay. All right. And what about the person who is in a relationship and they are always hearing how they don't measure up based on some other? We kind of touched on that earlier.
We did. Well, but the part we want to talk about no comparisons, where we compare our lives and our relationship with other people. So we get on the Facebook and we start seeing, oh, wow, look at what they're doing. They're doing this and they're doing that. And then we start wanting what they have, believing the lie that the grass is going to be greener if we could just have the kind of person they have.
Well, that's that old the Jones concept, yeah. You know, which people even say jonesing for something, which just means you're wanting what somebody else has or whatever.
True. And so now what we have is no longer good enough. And
right.
Now it's going to be all negative because you're not good enough. And so we need to stop comparing our lives and our relationships with other people's.
Absolutely.
Because the most beautiful looking relationships on the outside, you don't know what happens behind closed doors.
No, you don't.
I've worked with a couple that lived in a multi-million-dollar mansion. She always dressed to the nines. They looked so lovely and beautiful. Their children were always so lovely and beautiful. And behind the doors, he was beating her. He was beating her.
Yeah.
Nobody would have known that. But everybody would have wanted her life.
Right. So we don't know.
We never know what's happening behind closed
doors.
And
all we can do is to make the best of our relationships,
yes,
right?
Yes, we can.
And where we happen to be in a situation where we can influence another relationship positively, that's why we do these shows, to try to help all of us be as healthy as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
In all, you know, to the person out there who says, I'm just want to be single the rest of my life, and I'm, you know, I don't want to mess with problems with people. What would you say to them? I mean,
you know, and some people are really content being single.
Yeah, and it's okay.
You know what? They
right.
have their relationships through friendships and families.
And right.
They get that connection.
They get that connection. Right.
So, and this relationship is a healthy relationship. It doesn't just mean a romantic, physical relationship.
It does not. No.
It can be with our friends and family. We need connection with human beings. We were created and wired to be in connection with other people.
We really were. Absolutely. So how do you improve your relationship satisfaction in your life, whether it be a romantic or a family? All the dynamics of family relationships can be quite interesting. Workplace relationships, friends that you hang out with,
mm-hmm.
which can also be a whole nother set of dynamics. Doesn't have to be something you're in a relationship, quote unquote, with,
true.
But friends.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some ideas on how to improve your relationship, your satisfaction with your relationships.
Well, whatever kind of relationship we're in, is connecting with that other person is important.
Okay.
And connecting through times of stress. A lot of times when we start experiencing stress, a lot of people pull into themselves, they close down, they shut down,
mm-hmm.
and they disconnect.
They disconnect. Yes.
It's a very common
mm-hmm.
way that we handle stress. But
right.
that is when we don't feel like it, is when we need to connect even more.
Exactly.
And so we need to reach out and, you know, and connect, and even when we're not feeling like
right.
it. So that's one way to kind of improve that satisfaction, because there's a source of support. If nothing, hearing what our heart's saying and giving us,
absolutely.
Just that somebody's walking it with us and we're not alone.
Right.
We need to love people the way they desire to be loved. That's improving that satisfaction. When I give you the love the way you hear it, then
right.
you're going to be more satisfied and
sure.
more to reciprocate that back.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
the way I hear it. Fighting fair, that is definitely improved satisfaction. We're going to fight. We're going to have conflict. It's healthy. It's normal. It's a growing time for us in our relationship, so we just don't want to put each other down, whoever it is. We're not going to name call. We're not going to dismiss them.
Right.
We're going
good
to fight
points.
Fair. Triggers, we want to kind of look at recognizing our triggers of negative cycles of relationships in our life.
So some people repeat the same patterns and go find another person. It's exactly like an
same
alcoholic. They get an alcoholic the second time and the third and the fourth and yeah.
Same relationship,
right.
different name, different face.
Yeah.
And so we need to kind right. of look at if we feel like our relationships are constantly on this cycle that we're not happy with.
Mm-hmm.
What am I contributing to the cycle and how can we start doing it
good
different?
Good point.
Expectations. This is a big one. Keeping our expectations real.
Right.
A lot of times I think we just grow these unrealistic expectations. We believe in the happily ever after.
Yeah,
and the
white picket fence. It's always going to be fine. Yeah.
And life isn't like that. We are going to have all kinds of adversity come against us. So
do relationships actually take work?
They take a lot of work and intentional work and purposeful
right.
work. And so learning to just to keep our expectations real.
Right.
And they take work and they have to be a priority.
Right.
And so the closer the relationship is, the more of a priority we need to make that relationship.
Exactly.
And then strengths. Remember your strengths as a couple. This is really important for romantic relationships because we both have strengths.
Right.
And if our strengths complement each other, right. like Chris said last week, so if your strengths are not my strengths and my strengths are not your strengths, and we use those together, we're going to be a strong power couple.
Wow, we got something in there from Chris from last week.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
And you know what? It's a give and take. All relationships are give and take. So
that's
if
right.
you're doing all the giving or you're doing all the taking, you need to balance that wheel out. It's
there
a give and take.
Woo! Healthy relationships, great guidelines. You can listen to this show again by tomorrow night. It'll be on the Go Yard podcast right here at TanTalk1340.com. And you can hear this show Saturday and Sunday this week at noon Eastern on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And this has been a great series, Navigating Relationships. We got something new for next week. So you got to tune in, call a friend, and say, hey, you need to hang out with this show, Go Yard, with Dr. Angel and Mama Mac. And you know what? We always have such a great time doing this show. Fun. We would love to welcome. We welcome your ideas for the show. Just send us a text, 727-888-4171, and say, I'd like to hear you guys talk about this. 727-888-4171. Send your questions for our next Q&A show to goyard2014@gmail.com. And go to our website, goyard2014.org, to listen to a bunch of our older shows that we've done. And who are you, and what are you doing here?
This is Dr. Angel.
Yeah, and that's Chris in there. And I'm Mama Mac, and this is Go Yard. And see you next week, guys, on Go Yard.
Good night.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
The leader of the Council on American Islamic Relations, Nihad